You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, it's time for us to get into our conversation with our next guest, who is our pastor, who is going to be teaching us more on our GROW model. And that is Pastor Darlington Noah. Good afternoon to you, Mfundisi. Welcome back, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Welcome. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. So today we are still talking about who is God, the God of the Old Testament versus the God of the New Testament. What is this split personality? In the Old Testament, God rains down fire and brimstone. In the New Testament, he washes feet. Are we dealing with the divine contradiction here, or is it there more to this story than we all understand? Today we unpack the tension between wrath and grace, justice and mercy, and what it says about who God really is. And that's why we have Pastor Darlington Noah to help us understand. And first, let's get into it. Why does God seem violent in the Old Testament and gentle in the New?
Okay, thank you so much for the question. Now, the perception of God's character differing between the Old Testament and the New Testament stems from misunderstanding. Now, according to Dr. Matt Hammond, a professor of New Testament studies, was once quoted saying, "The God who pours out his wrath against the sin in the Old Testament is the same God who will inflict the vengeance of internal punishment on those who do not believe in his son Jesus." If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 10, it shows that in reality, God's nature remains unchanged, revealing both stunning love and terrifying wrath against the sin and the wickedness from Genesis to Revelation. Now, there is a need for us to understand the context and the purpose. Number one, I want to highlight the historical context of the Old Testament. The Old Testament describes God's relationships with the Israelites, where God's actions were often directed at establishing and maintaining a covenant relationship with his people. Now, we need to know the purpose, why God did so. God's actions in the Old Testament were often aimed to punish sin, protecting his people and demonstrating his power and authority. And apart from that, we need to understand God's character. That is number one, unchanging nature of his character. God's character remains constant throughout the Bible, reflecting his holiness, justice, love, mercy, and grace. Number two, we need to know different revelation from the Old Testament. It reveals God's justice and wrath against the sin, while the New Testament highlights God's love now and mercy through Jesus Christ. So we have got biblical examples. In the Old Testament, for example, God's judgment and punishment, such as the flood from Genesis 6, chapter 6 to chapter 9, and then the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis chapter 19. It demonstrates his justice and mercy against the sin. In the New Testament now, Jesus' teaching and actions, such as his emphasis.
Are you still there, Mfundisi? Yeah, I think our line to the pastor just dipped a little bit. Hoping we will be able to restore.
Now, and about this matter, the apparent contrast between God's character in the Old Testament and New Testament can be understood by considering the historical context, God's unchanging nature, and the different revelation of his character throughout the Bible.
Help me understand, Mfundisi, how you're saying he's unchanging and he's constant. I need you to help me understand what you mean when you say he's unchanging and constant, and yet by your own author's admission, God in the Old Testament is more angry and vitriolic and scathing in contrast to the God who's more genteel, gracious, and more palatable in the New Testament. What do you mean he's consistent and yet you have demonstrated, you have seen him to be different? Funisa, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you now.
Okay. So my question was, how do you say God is constant and consistent, and yet you have already observed that in the Old Testament he's scathing, vitriolic, and angry? In the New Testament he's more genteel, gracious, and more palatable. Kindly explain what you mean by consistent, and yet by your own admission, and as demonstrated in scriptures, he's not.
Okay, thank you so much for asking. Now, we are saying we need to understand God's character requires considering his holiness, justice, and love, and mercy, and grace. Now, God's action in the Old Testament, such as judgments and punishment, were often directed to nations to establish Israel as a holy nation.
No. I understand what happened, Mfundis. My question is on you suggesting that he is consistent. Explain what you mean by he's consistent.
Okay. I want to say the New Testament now is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Punishment, God punished his people. He not punished the people, but he punished the sin. So if you are characterized with the sin, then you deserve to be punished according to his promises. You get the sense?
Okay. All right. No. Let's move on then from this. The next one that I thought perhaps we could talk about is what appears to be genocidal acts, plagues, and punishment. The question is it really possible to love a God who allows genocide, a God who allows plagues, and a God who is more retributive in his punishment? Is it possible to love a God like that?
Yeah, thank you so much for the question. It is very much possible to love such kind of God. Why? How? Now, by understanding his character and his requirements, considering his holiness, justice, love, and mercy, as I said before. Now, God's action in the Old Testament, such as judgments and punishment, were often directed at nations to establish Israel as a holy nation. So he demonstrated his justice and seriousness of sin. However, salvation was still individual, as it is seen in the New Testament. God's love is evident in both testaments, notably in the promise of Savior. That is from Genesis 3, verse 15, and the ultimate expression of love through sending Jesus Christ. That is John 3, verse number 16.
Okay, perhaps let's change tack. Let's look intrinsically. Is it possible that we perhaps are the problem? Are we misinterpreting divine justice because we think like humans? Could that be possible?
Yes, of course. Human perspective can limit our understanding of divine justice. The Bible reveals God's nature and redemptive plan through his relationship with his people.
Right.
Showcasing his unchanging character. If you read Exodus 3, verse 14, and Malachi 3, verse 6, are in support of this view. And as Dr. Harmon notes, God's character is revealed in the Old Testament comes into an even clearer focus and expression in the New Testament. Why? Because he has taken on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, our understanding is flawed due to sin, number one, biases, number two, and incomplete knowledge. In contrast to God's justice and perfectness of God. Now, we need to understand the divine nature of God versus human justice. God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours, as emphasized in Isaiah 55, verse 8, chapter 8, verse 8 to 9. Now, this passage highlights the vast difference between divine and human perspective. Given the limitation of human understanding, and now faith becomes essential in trusting divine justice. Scripture encourages us to trust in God, in God's righteousness, character, and ultimate plan for justice. For example, we can talk of the story of Job. Job's friend misinterpreted his suffering, showcasing human limitation in understanding divine justice. God's response to Job reveals the vastness now of divine wisdom compared to human reasoning.
Okay, so let's talk about the words of Jesus. When you read the words of Jesus, when you listen to Jesus speaking, when you read him throughout the Gospels, does Jesus, his words, reflect or do they contradict the God of Moses and Elijah?
Thank you so much. If you look closely to the words of Jesus, Jesus' words reflect the God of the Old Testament.
Really?
In the New Testament, Jesus is described as the Word who is with God and is God, according to John 1, verse 1 to 3. And Jesus himself said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." That is according to John 14, verse 9. This continuity is further emphasized by the New Testament authors, who consistently claim that the God revealed in the Old Testament is the same God who is now revealing himself in and through Jesus Christ. Now, again, Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecies and reinforced the importance of loving God and neighbors. That is according to Mark 12, verse 29 to 31, quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5, and Leviticus 19, verse 18. Eventually, Jesus inaugurated a new covenant, shifting the focus now from ritualistic observances to heart-focused relationships with God. That is, if you read Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34, and Luke 22, verse 10. Now, maybe to sum up, Jesus' words reflect the God of Moses and Elijah, while introducing a new emphasis and perspective, highlighting the continuity and development of God's relationship with humanity throughout the Bible.
Okay. Final question, Funus. Can God, or at least a loving God of love, also be a God of wrath? And should the comfort, or should that worry us? Should it terrify us that the God of love is still the God of wrath? Are we comforted by that, or are we terrified? Should we be comforted by it, or should we be terrified by it?
Okay, a God of love can indeed be a God of wrath. Scriptures reveals God's wrath against sin and wickedness, while also showcasing his love and mercy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 to 10, we see God's wrath on those who rejected Jesus. Mm. But in John 3, verse 16 now, we see God's love not for a certain individual, but for the whole world. This dual nature should prompt our reverence and awe, encouraging us to appreciate the depth of God's love and the seriousness of his judgment.
Okay. All right. Let's leave it right there. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Really appreciate your time, Pastor. Darlington Noah, have a wonderful day further. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Stay blessed. God bless you.
Thank you, Mfundisi.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.